Welcome to The Milk Check, a podcast from TC Jacoby & Company, where we share market insights and analysis with dairy farmers in mind.
So here's where we're at. It's July 8th. Today, cheddar blocks on the CME spot market are trading at $273.75 a pound. Barrels are trading at $240 a pound. Non-fat is trading at $1.03 and a quarter. Butter is trading at $1.68 and three quarters. You have over a $10 difference between where July Class 3 milk will probably come in and where July Class 4 milk will probably come in, which is really about as big a disparity as I've ever seen in my 25 years of trading cheese and powder in the United States. It's amazing. Talking a little bit about the markets and what we expect going forward, starting with cheese, there has been for the month of June a genuine tightness in cheese, specifically in cheddar blocks and cheddar barrels. We talked about this in the last podcast. You have a unique situation where retail sales continued to be much stronger than normal because of the pandemic. At the same time, the anticipation of the world opening back up, restaurants opening back up, was causing food service distributors to order in large quantities to refill their pipelines. And you had the USDA's purchasing program and food box program on top of all of that. And that created kind of a perfect storm of all the usual demand for cheeses across the whole food industry. Whether it's restaurant-based, whether it's supermarket-based, or whether it's government-based, we're all ordering at levels much higher than they normally do, which caused a shortage on cheddar and drove the market up to, you know, prices at $2.50 or higher. You know, the question everybody's been asking already for a month is, how sustainable are we up here? And the answer that I think I would give everybody is, we are not going to be at $2.50 for the rest of the year, but we've been at 250 for over a month now, and it is not out of the realm of possibility that we stay here for another 2 to 4 weeks. Furthermore, if we do drop off these lofty levels, I'm not sure we're dropping, let's say, to $1.50 or to $1.75. There is enough underlying demand that probably that first place where you drop to is still probably above $2 a pound. And the reason I say that is, all of the converters out there, those who buy the cheese and shred it or chunk it or slice it and put it into the packages for retail or restaurant demand, they're telling us that their inventories of cheddar block and cheddar barrel, if you're a processed cheese manufacturer, are on the low end of where they like them to be at this time of the year. Keep in mind that usually right around the end of June, beginning of July is when cheese inventories peak. And then as we get through the second half of the year and demand picks up for the holidays and milk production decreases because of the heat of the summer, you start seeing cheese inventories drop back down. Well, at least by the tone that I'm hearing from a lot of our customers, you're actually at a place where people are very uncomfortable with how much cheese they have in inventory. And they're inclined to say, we don't have enough and we're concerned about having enough cheese for the remainder of the year. Now, the flip side of that is they will also say in the same conversation, we have absolutely no idea what to expect when it comes to demand. We would expect that it's possible the food service distributors have overordered in terms of the restaurants opening back up, because everything we're hearing about restaurants is they're running at, let's say, 50% of capacity. On the flip side, QSR, which is your McDonald's of the world, your Panera Breads, your Chick-fil-A's, et cetera, those restaurants are running probably at levels similar to where they did at this time last year, at pre-pandemic levels, let's say. Meanwhile, the data we're seeing out of the retail side of the business is that while we are still running ahead of last year on a week-to-week basis in terms of demand, that number is dropping. What was 20% a month and a half ago, dropped to 10% and is now dropping to about 5%. So you're seeing, let's call it a normalization of the curve in terms of demand and pull through sales at the supermarket level.
Let me interrupt a minute. We've talked about the demand side of the ledger, which is not something we normally talk about too much. But isn't the key to this situation the other side this time? I mean, what is milk production doing? I mean, the bottom fell out of it in, what was it, April and May? It was down big numbers. If milk comes back, where's it going to go? It looks to me like if milk comes back, given the current market situation, the milk is going to go into cheese. Regardless of whether or not you pool or what the margins are and so on, cheese is where it is. The pooling is irrelevant as far as your option of which direction you're going to go. You're going to head towards cheese with whatever additional milk comes to the table.
I'm going to completely disagree with you, and here's why. This is what we are hearing right now this week, the week right after the 4th of July. The cheese plants, especially the big cheese plants, do not want the milk. They do not want the milk for three reasons. First, Class 3 milk is going to price itself in July at almost $25 a hundredweight, close to all-time highs. Two, unless they have a guaranteed sale for that cheese, they are not interested in paying that much for milk and speculating that the price is going to stay up here. The third, and I think probably the most important component of all of this, is that whey protein sales, whey protein prices, whey protein demand right now is not very good. And keep in mind, somewhere between 75 to 80% of all profits for most cheese plants comes from their whey plant, comes specifically from producing various kinds of whey proteins. That is the market that's driving profits in cheese making right now. So if your whey protein market is not very good and nobody feels like they're making money with whey, combining that with close to all-time high prices for cheese, combining that with a very large uncertainty in demand for that cheese at these price levels, those Class 3 plants right now are doing the exact opposite of what you would expect a normal economic situation to be. They're actually pushing that milk away. They don't want it up here. Unless they have a guaranteed sale for the cheese, they don't want the milk. The milk is going to Class 4. You talk to any Class 4 plant in the country right now, every single one of them is going to tell you they're running full. And they're not running full because we've got too much milk. They're running full because the cheddar plants don't want it.
Well, how are you going to correct that problem? Who's sitting on cheese right now that can meet the specs at the market? Is that the only thing holding it up is CME specs?
No, let's talk about this. You're a cheese plant that can produce cheddar that could be sold on the exchange on the CME. But when you're looking at the profitability of your plant, there's no guarantee you're going to make money on the cheese because you just don't, because keep in mind, they're usually somewhere between 5 and 10 days between the day you make the cheese and the day you can sell it on the CME because it has to age out a little bit. It has to settle down a little bit. The tests have to come back before it can be cleared for a sale. Well, when you're sitting at 270, there's this feeling I'm sitting at the edge of a cliff. Tomorrow, this cheese market could be $2. A couple of moments ago in this conversation, I was saying demand seems to be pretty good and we're staying up here. It becomes a question of why, though. What we're sensing out there is there's just not enough cheese to really push this market down because everybody's afraid to make the cheese. Unless they know they have the sale, they're afraid to make the cheese. And what's the incentive for the cheese plant right now? They're not making any money on the way. A lot of times what happens is they're making so much money on the way that they'll go ahead and risk losing money on the cheese because they can cover that in the profits of their way. Well, if they're not making any money on the way, if the whey protein market isn't very good right now, and everything we're hearing is it's a difficult market at the moment, there's no incentive for them to take that risk. So unless they have a contract that they can't get out of, which is the case in many places, if they can push that milk away, they're going to do it. They're going to take that risk off the table.
Let me ask a question. If you sell a load of cheese on the CME today, how long do you have to deliver it?
Let me give you the simplified methodology. The cheese that you sell on the CME has to be between 5 and 30 days old when you sell it. On day one, you sell the load on the exchange. Within 24 hours, you have to provide the certificate of analysis to the CME, who then forwards it to the buyer for that load of cheese. When we are a buyer on the CME, we assume that it's going to take us between at least 3 and more realistically 5 days before we can pick up that cheese once we've bought it. So if we buy it on a Monday, we can probably get it out of there by Thursday or Friday of the same week. But more often than not, let's say we buy it on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday of a week, it's going to be the following week, Monday or Tuesday of the following week, before we can move it. Now, you can stretch that out maybe to a week and a half to 10 days, 10 business days. You know, there's some flexibility in those rules. But usually the rule of thumb is that cheese is going to move between 5 and 10 days after the transaction has taken place on the CME. But that load of cheese has to be ready, it has to be tested, and it has to have testing results pretty much immediately when you sell it, because you're going to be expected to provide that C of A within 24 hours of when you sold it. Now, if you sell it on a Friday, maybe you've got, you know, 3 days worth, because you can wait till Monday to provide the C of A. But what we always do, because we're not actually an owner of a cheese plant, we're a trading company, is we make sure we have a C of A on that load before we sell it, so we don't break the rules. And if you break the rules, the CME does not take kindly to people who try to make a transaction that they're not fully prepared for, and they can come down pretty hard on you.
In order for the market to go down, you've got to have somebody sitting there with cheese with C of A's in hand and facing the prospect of buying milk down the road. He's already got July underneath his belt, so he's going to be worried about his August price, right?
I'll look at it this way. If you're a cheese manufacturer and you want to know whether or not you're going to buy that extra load of milk, well, if you buy that extra load of milk, the question is going to be, what would I need to pay for that milk in order to make sure that I am profitable on my whey stream, whey protein and lactose, and I'm profitable on my cheese? Well, the first thing you're going to do is, yes, the market's at 270, but I'm not going to make the assumption that it's going to be at 270 in 2 weeks, because it could easily be at 220 in 10 days. Do I think that within the next 3 weeks, this market will move lower? I do, because I don't think we're sustainable at 270. But it's this weird dichotomy right now where, because everybody's anticipating this market's going to drop, everybody's that can avoid making cheese is doing so. And it's actually making it a longer period of time until this market actually drops.
Well, what would probably happen under these circumstances is somebody who is making cheese every day, 24/7, is looking at this, and he's stacking up cheese, and he's looking at a 270 price, and he's looking at the class three where it is, and he's got the fresh cheese with the C of A's. You know, it's in his interest for the milk that he's buying to get the market down to something more reasonable. When that guy comes to the table, the market's going to drop. And the question is, Where is it going to drop to? And I tend to agree with you, Teddy. I think the place where it's going to end up at probably a jaw-dropping level is probably about 190 or so. $190 to $2. And now all of a sudden, everybody will be very happy to buy milk and put it into cheese at that level. And that'll then shorten up the butter powder end of the spectrum.
Yeah. If it drops, you're right. It's going to be interesting to see how easily this market gets there, though.
Yeah, it will be interesting. But the guy who's sitting there piling up cheese at this class three price has got a vested interest in changing it. And we'll see whether or not he comes to the table here in the next week or so. The next week or so is critical, because unless they've changed the rules, the August pricing starts on the 16th, right?
More or less, yeah. You've got this week, yeah. You've got the remainder of this week and next week, and then you're essentially pricing August. That's correct.
he's going to have a vested interest in making sure the market gets to the point where he's comfortable with taking and making the cheese, and so he can move forward with August.
Yes. Now, let me throw another element into this conversation. Have you looked at the weather map lately for the next 10 days in just about any part of our country?
It's hot.
This heat's going to have an effect on milk production, but just when we're expecting that there'll probably a shift lower in cheese prices, the lack of milk may shift that. And what could happen, usually about this time of year, what the heat tends to do is it tends to shorten up the butter powder market, and the cheese plants stay full. But with this situation we have where there's almost a $10 difference between class 4 and class 3, and the protein market being weak, what you may have happen instead is the class 4 plants stay full, and the class 3 plants are able to take on less milk, and they're going to be able to resolve their problem that way, and that might actually keep the class 3 price up.
Well, it could. However, you know, let's consider the differences between plants located in Texas and New Mexico and plants located in Idaho. I mean, these people are dedicated to cheese. They don't have butter powder options. Mm-hmm. And the cheese and the milk's coming at them. And just because, let's say, production gets hit because of the temperature, and it's probably it will, but what effect is it going to be? 2%, 3%, something like that? That's not going to solve the dichotomy of the problem we discussed just a second ago for the fellow that's got this milk coming at him. It's going to end up in cheese because it's got no place else to go.
I don't know. 3% change in milk, you know, that's the thing about dairy, Dad. It's a pretty inelastic market. Small changes in production can have big changes in price.
Well, yeah, that's true, but the change is already there. So I would argue that under that scenario, what would probably happen is that when this price goes down prior to the August pricing or early on the August pricing, it would go down less, or maybe you step it down less. You know, we're speculating on this whole scenario, but it is hot. That's going to have a big effect on milk production.
Nope, I agree.
Costs are rising, margins are shrinking, markets are more complicated. A lot has changed since T.C. Jacoby & Company started in 1949. What hasn't changed is our commitment to helping farmers focus. With the latest administrative support tools, we work every day to keep co-ops and family farms running at their peak. Start by emailing me, Anna Donzi, at anna@jacoby.com. That's ANNA@jacoby.com.
Let's talk about the federal order system. Is the federal order system doing the dairy industry a service in an environment like this? To me, it almost seems like because of the blend price, you're actually encouraging milk moving away from where its highest value would be, which is cheese, towards where its lower value would be, which is butter and powder. Is that what the federal order system is designed to do?
Obviously not, but but by the same token, I don't see why the federal order system has a big impact on the current dichotomy. I mean, the advantages of depooling means for the cheese manufacturer, he doesn't have to put money into the pool because his class 3 price is higher than the blend. That's not a normal scenario. So he's going to do what he's doing. He's going to avoid putting any milk into 270 cheese right now, regardless of what the federal order says. He's just not going to do it. Now, I agree that there's kinks in the federal order that need to be ironed out, and they're getting bigger every year. But most of them relate to class 1 pricing and how that relates to the overall situation with regard to qualification. The current pandemic dichotomy is very unusual and of course greatly exaggerated because of it. But I think when this thing settles down, and let's just suppose that the cheese market drops to $2 here next week. Well, guess what? All of a sudden going into August, it's business as usual. And then the question is going to be how much milk production is going to be coming at us during the third quarter. So that's the way I'm looking at it. And I think the federal audit system has plenty of problems, but this situation with the pandemic and so on, isn't really a problem that needs to be solved.
I think the biggest issue really is just that you had a lot of producers get very excited about a really high class three price. And I think a lot of them have been warned. I mean, we've been getting questions from everywhere, so I think they're paying enough attention to know. But some people probably will be surprised at how big the negative the PPD is when it hits their checks. I think that's going to be a shock for some, and it's also just a big letdown when you were expecting a $21 milk price, and that's not at all where you're going to come out.
And I agree with you, Anna, and that's a public relations issue that cooperatives are going to have to deal with, including the ones that we support. But most of the sophisticated dairymen have a pretty good idea of how this is going to work.
So, Anna, where do you think the blend price is going to be for June?
I was really hoping you weren't going to ask me that, because it really depends on what everyone decides to do. You know, if somebody decided that they were just going to get off for a month or two and play it safe, that's a very different number at the end than if everybody decided they didn't care if they weren't back for 5 or 6 months. The estimates that I had were, even if everyone pooled like they did in May, which is unlikely, it would be a -5, somewhere in that neighborhood. I think it is possible, probable, that it will be much worse than that. I've seen some people say as low as -9, and it is possible. I don't think that's quite likely.
Well, let's talk this through a little bit about how that happens. So you basically have $10. Let's just round the math and say there's about a $10 difference between the class 4 price and the class 3 price. Your class 1 price is halfway between, the mover's halfway between the two, correct? In effect. So you've got some of the milk going in, you know, at 20, I don't even remember what the class three price ended up being in June, 21.50. So you've got, you know, some of the milk at $22, you got some of the milk at $12 to $13. And then you've got the class one mover halfway between the two. And then you've got a class two price that's more derived from the class four. And that's how you end up at a $5 PPD. But it would be $9, which means it would be a lot closer to class four than class three as a result of everybody be pooling. And so there's almost no class three milk in the pooling report. And so the blend price basically becomes a class one and class four average because all the class three is gone from the order, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, and part of the equation is, how aggressive did people want to be, knowing that you would get some benefit in having your two pooled? You know, are you really going to lose all of your two to take the three off? And It depends on your utilizations, how much, you know, what percentage is in each one, whether or not that was a risk worth taking. But the more gets pulled off, the lower this number goes. The more three comes off, the lower that PPD gets.
Even I have trouble getting my head around the situation, the class three price where it is, and the timeline of it getting there, just really makes a mess of any calculations for the month of June.
Unless you knew what everybody else wanted to do, if every other co-op plant, how they were going to pull their milk, it's impossible to know where that number is going to show up. And this month is really strange. You know, normally you've got order five higher than 33, and it is not. It is lower. It's, you know, that blend difference between the two is usually, I think we have an average, you know, with component loss and things like that, that's around 50 cents. And I think it's a dollar under this time, which is very unusual.
So this is just going to be a weird month, probably a weird couple of months.
Yeah, that's what I was running through my mind, too, is you're going to have the same problem in July.
Well, and you'll have people trying to bring things back on. We still are looking at probable negative PPDs in July, so people are probably giving themselves at least 2 to 3 months to get back on. You know, even if you had a positive quarter 3 months from now for the PPD, you probably wouldn't mind losing that if you were going to pick up $5 here. So I think that, you know, knowing what people are going to do, especially with qualification coming into the mix in August, is it'll be months before we kind of get back to normal, if we get back to normal.
We welcome your participation in the Milk Check. If you have comments to share or questions you want answered, send an email to podcast@jacobi.com. Our theme music is composed and performed by Phil Keggy. The Milk Check is a production of TC Jacobi & Company.